chapter 6 and Mark chapter 8. I like for you to turn to different passages. Some of you use your smartphones, that's okay too. I'm still old school, I bring my Bible up in the pulpit as well. But I like you to turn to two passages, one the Old Testament, one the New Testament. And if you know me, we're going to look at several scriptures today. But I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Mark chapter 8. The title of this message is The Power of Your Testimony. And we're going to have a couple of testimonies at the end of this message today. I've asked Carrie Ward, and then I've asked my daughter and son-in-law, Cameron and Taya, to share a little bit more of their testimony. Some things are unfolding even more in their lives since the last testimony that they shared. And the reason why I'm doing this is because kind of where this message came from, something I'm learning that I'm wanting to unfold in our church is Wes Wooten. Where's Wes at? Is he in here? Is he back? Okay, there he is. There's Wes. He had shared his testimony here a few weeks ago. I'd had Tay and Cameron share their testimony here a month or two ago. I can't remember now how long ago it was. But after both testimonies, I had people come up to me and say, that really ministered to me, Pastor Mark. That really encouraged me with Mark, with Cameron and Taya, with Wes. Wes, his testimony was more of what seeing God's hand move in his life over the years, how God led him to Leedy, led him to Anita back here. And it was just a neat story. And then also Taya and Cameron, what's going on in their lives, and they're going to share more about that. And I've asked Carrie to share something that happened to her specifically. And when the people shared their testimonies, you just feel the faith level, right? The faith level raise in the house. And so I was like, okay, we're on to something there. And so what I want you to do is, whenever God does something in your life, I want you to share it with me, okay? And I'm going to give you my email and things. And I feel like there's going to be some of you that I'm going to ask to even share from the pulpit what those testimonies are, because it builds faith in people. That testimony is not just for you, it's for other people as well. If you'll allow me, I even want to put them on social media. I'm ready for some good news out there, right? And to share them on our church page and just really minister about what God is doing here amongst his people. And so I want you to do that. And I want you to be honest, truthful, but also don't want you to be false humility either, okay? I don't want you to be modest about it. I want us to brag on God and what he's doing, okay? And so that kind of, I wanted to share that because that's kind of the heart of my message to all of us today. And the first scripture that we're going to look at is Revelation 19, verse 10. And it says this, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So when you testify, when you share your testimony about what the Lord Jesus is doing in your life, there is an anointing, there's actually the spirit of prophecy rests upon that. Meaning prophecy, you're encouraging, you're exhorting, you're edifying not only yourself, but other people that hear it. And every one of you in here, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have a testimony. And that's what you need to be sharing with people. And letting the Lord open those doors up to share it, okay? Testimony is this, is a spoken or written record of anything that God has done. This Bible that you're reading is not a history book, it's a testimony of what God has done in people's lives. And we can, as his children, we can lay hold of those testimonies by faith. All right, so the spirit of prophecy, another thing that the spirit of prophecy does is it foretells the future or brings a change to the present. So what I saw happen, I'm going to use my daughter and Cameron for an instance. When they shared their testimony here, what God was doing in their life, I felt the faith level rise in here for other people to start believing the same way. Or even if they were already believing the same way, it encouraged them to even believe more. And so it brings a change to the present when we share our testimony. And when a testimony, here's the deal, and I want you to repeat this after me. Some things need to be spoken. Say it again. Your testimony needs to be spoken. Okay? And so when a testimony is spoken, there is a prophetic decree that makes possible an immediate change in the present. And so that's the power of testimony. I'm gonna share a story with you that I heard a pastor share this week when I was studying, because it built faith in me. I love hearing testimonies from other pastors and ministries and other people, because it builds faith in me. I encourage you to read biographies of the old generals. I like reading stuff about Smith Wigglesworth. All right, man, you talk about a guy that walked in faith and the testimonies that he had. But his testimonies encouraged me. And so I was listening to something this week, and it was a pastor, and he was talking about that he was in a meeting. He said, and it almost sounded like Harvest Fellowship Church to me. So it wasn't a big church, just a small setting. And he said, I ministered at this church, and afterward, he said, there's probably about 50 people there. Afterwards, we were praying for the sick, and there was a lady there that had pins and some screws and stuff in her ankle, and she was having a lot of pain because she'd had surgery on one of her ankles, and she was having a lot of pain. And said she came forward, and she was mainly praying for the pain to subside. She said, I take stuff. I'm tired of taking stuff, and I just want this pain to go away. And so he said, this pastor said, I ministered to her. We laid hands on her. We did everything that the Word says. We prayed in faith. We did all this. And he said, and she left there saying that there was not as much pain as there was, but she wasn't totally healed. And, you know, the metal screws didn't dissolve. And, you know, there wasn't a creative miracle that happened at that moment. Just that she said, well, the pain's kind of left, you know, thank you for praying. And she went home, and this pastor was saying, I was in this church for several days because the other pastor had asked him to come and teach in a morning setting and then teach in the evening. Said this couple came back the next morning. They said, hey, we got to tell you something. What happened last night? She said, my husband's the one that noticed it. She said, I got up this morning, and we were getting ready to come to church this morning, and my husband said, look at your calf muscle. How many of you guys look at your wife's calf muscles? Amen. All right, here we go. I just had to throw that in there. And she goes, what's the matter? And what the deal was, because she had her leg laid up for a long time with the braces and the screws and all that was in her legs, her calf muscle had atrophied, had shrunk on that leg. But during the night, God answered a prayer that this pastor never even prayed. He did a creative miracle and caused her calf muscle to strengthen and to grow. Okay, God still does that today, amen? Yes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when he said, there's about 25 people this morning at this teaching that I was doing. He said, I've got to have you share that. And so this lady came up and shared it. They were in Minnesota, by the way. This is where this all happened at. And this pastor said she came up and she shared it. And he said, right during the time that she was sharing it, there was a little lady there that got up and said, I am receiving that testimony by faith in the name of Jesus. And she says, and this is what this lady knew, all right, and I'm going to share something with you. When somebody shares a testimony, you can claim it for yourself by faith, okay? And here's what she knew. She said this. She said, I know this. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he is not a respecter of persons. So when you see it, somebody share a testimony about it, or when you read it in the Word of God, you can take it as your own by faith, okay? So she knew that. And so she came up, and this is what she said. She said, you're not going to believe this, but I had an accident with a horse where a horse kicked me so hard in my leg, literally took off part of her calf muscle. And she said, and I'm believing God to restore my calf muscle. And he said, so we're like, okay, let's pray for that. So they prayed. Immediately, where this lady had it restored overnight, this lady immediately had hers restored right then, right in front of them, in a little setting of 25 people. And he said, you know what happened? That little 25 people went out and started sharing that testimony with other people. And he said, we're in this little bitty church in a country setting. And he said, while I was there over the next few days, we had 4 people come that had problems with their calf muscles, and they were all healed. I'm just getting goosebumps right now thinking about that. But it was the power of testimony that caused that to happen. The power and when Jesus was here, you know why people flocked to him is because they were hearing word of mouth testimony of what was happening to people that Jesus got around. All right, we're going somewhere with this. So the testimony in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, actually the root word in Hebrew for testimony is to do again. To do again. So anytime you see it in Scripture, something that God done to somebody in Scripture, raised the dead, guess what? God wants to do it again. Anytime you see it, you see a healing in Scripture, or you hear a testimony of healing, guess what? God wants to do it again. God's not a respecter of persons, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Here's Psalms 119, verse 11. It says, "Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart." So God wants you to start storing up those testimonies. So I was thinking, as a church, as you know, being the pastor here, being a church family, one of the things that we started doing just several years ago, and I'm glad that we're doing it, is that we record, we have a little register back there, but we record when people get saved and when they get water baptized. And we have a record of it. It's amazing over the 23 years that we've been here, and I have done funerals for people where that meant a lot to the family, that they had that. They knew that that was the moment in time that they got saved, they got, you know, water baptized and all that. And so the Lord put on my heart that what I want to start doing around here is keeping a record of testimonies for all of us so that we can remember them, keep them in front of us. I'm going to show you this in Scripture here in a little bit, but in Deuteronomy, God told the children of Israel, He says, "I want you to keep my commands, I want you to keep my statutes," and we all know what that is because that's the word of God. We, you know, do what my word says. But then He also says in Deuteronomy, "I want you to keep my testimonies." And so the testimonies are what God has done in the past. So it keeps building your faith for the present and for the future. All right, we sang this morning. I text Mark this morning about the message today, and he said, "This is the song we need to sing." And I said, "Amen, that's perfect." Revelation 12, verse 11, "And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony," the spoken testimony. You overcome by what Jesus did at the cross, His death, burial, and His resurrection, but you also overcome by the word of your testimony. "And they did not love their lives even unto the death." 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. I'm just trying to show you how it needs to be spoken. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." Some things just need to be spoken. Your testimony needs to be spoken. Look at somebody and say, "Your testimony needs to be spoken." So what God has, God's economy of resources, or God's treasure house of what He wants to do, is transferred through declaration, okay? And I'm not saying that we manipulate God by decreeing things, because we've got to decree what God has said or what God has done according to His word. And so I'm going to tell you a couple of guardrails that are in my life, and the guardrails that I want to put on our church are this, all right? The two guardrails is I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, and I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. Now, let me explain that. Those are the two guardrails that I'm trying to operate in my own personal life, but also in our church. The guardrails are this. I don't want any character flaw in me to cause a bad reputation of Jesus, because that's who I represent. Amen? Okay, so, and there's things that God's, and we're all a work in progress, right? But God's been speaking to me about some attitudes, some things that I'm doing, things like that that need to stop so that I can grow in this. That's called sanctification. That's what's happening in you too if you're a Christian. If you know Jesus, He's talking to you about things in your own personal life, your attitudes. How many of you ever had an attitude adjustment from the Lord? Okay, good, good. That means you're walking with Him, right? And so those attitude adjustments, some character flaws, some things, and He's constantly working on us. And when He's doing that, what you need to be is, when God points it out, be quick to repent, because I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit, okay? And then the next thing is the quenching part. Is I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. And the quenching part, okay, let me say this. The grieving part is about your character. Okay, what's going on? The quenching part is about the power of God. I don't want to quench the power of God. Everybody said amen. All right. And so basically in your own personal life, and I'm looking at this also as a church, talking about our church, we're standing on two legs, character and power. I want them both to be the same length. That helps, right? Okay. There's a lot of churches hopping on one leg. Okay. All right. I want them to be the same length and we're going somewhere. Okay. So character and power. Now, I'm going to say something that may shock you, and I hope it does, because we all need to be shocked this morning. All right. Without, and I, don't leave here and saying, Pastor Mark's saying we just need to drop character and don't even worry about it. We need character in the body of Christ. We need morals in the body of Christ. Amen. We need godly values in the body of Christ. All right. But we also need the power of God. We need the power of God more than we've ever needed the power of God today. And so, something that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me with, listen to this, okay? This is what's going to shock you. Without power, the gospel is not good news. Without power, it's just a bunch of words. I'm talking the power to transform lives. I'm talking about the power to heal people from addictions. I'm talking about the power to heal people that are sick. And just like Jesus did when he was here. He went around healing the sick, raising the dead, and casting out demons. And everybody was like, and everybody was talking about him, talking about what Jesus was doing. And people flocked to wherever he was at, to the point where they started saying this. I'm going to show you this in Scripture here in just a second. They were talking about Jesus so much that they were saying, if I can just get in his presence, if I can just get in his shadow, if I can just touch what he's wearing, I'll be healed. He don't even have to look at me. If I can just touch him, I'm going to show you this. Guys, that's what it was like when Jesus was here. And that's what we're supposed to be doing as the church. And so it's time for the church to rise up and start roaring again. Because there's people in this world today, they don't even know if they're male or female. It's time for the church to tell them what they are. Amen? There's so many people confused because they don't know who they are in Christ. That's what it is. And that's the power of God. The only thing that's going to transform that kind of confusion is the power of God. The power of God. And so without the power of God, the gospel is not good news. All right, so I'm going to give you six things today. Everybody with me now? Know where I'm tracking? Okay. I'm going to give you six things today, because this is the teacher in me, to show you what testimony does. So when God begins to do things in your life, I want you to start recording them. You need to do this personally and as a family. I was telling Jada, we need to start writing these things down. You know, not just remembering them, telling them to our kids, but really writing them down, creating a family book about what God's doing. And so that you can help teach the next generation and encourage the next generation. I got grandkids now, so it makes me think of those things. Because they're being raised in a corrupt world, just like in the days of Noah. So it's going to take grandpa and grand. We got two of them on both sides. He's got my grandkids are blessed. I got preachers on both sides. But we've got to be telling them what the testimony of the Lord is so that they're raised right. That's why you need to have your family in church. Because if you don't, this world out there is going to teach them another way. And I can tell you this, I'm going to say that, and I know that we live in the Bible Belt and we live in the buckle of the Bible Belt, but I talked to a pastor the other day who told me, and he was grieved, and he said, Mark, he said, I thought I did a really good job of teaching my children the Word of God, and I sent one of my daughters off to college, and she's come back, and she started telling me this progressive Christianity that she's believing in. Guys, it can happen. That's why we have got to share the testimony of the Lord with our kids and raise them right. They need to be in church. Amen? I can't say that enough, because this world out there is confused. It really is. And we need to uphold the truth. All right, here's number one. Number one is testimony gives praise to God. That's what a testimony does. Psalm 78. There's going to be a lot of these scriptures come from Psalm 78, by the way. verses 2 through 4 says, I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. So that's why you've got to teach the next generation. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. That's what you've got to start telling your children. They need to know these Bible stories. All right? Not only the Bible stories, but they need to hear your stories of what God's done in your life too. Amen? So they need to know this book, and they need to know the stories that God's doing in your life. Here's number two. Testimony gives people hope. Testimony gives people hope. And this is where I told you to turn to in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to read verses 17 through 23. And this is, the word says, you shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies. Everybody say, and his testimonies. And his statutes. Okay, how do you keep a testimony? We understand we can keep the commandments and the statutes because we got to keep the word of God, but how do you keep a testimony? It's because you keep sharing it with the next generation, which he has commanded you, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go in and take possession of the good land that the Lord God swore to give you, to give to your fathers, by thrusting out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. And when your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you, then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Did you know that's your heritage too? If you're a child of God, that's your heritage too. That's our testimony. Verse 22 came out with a mighty hand. Verse 22, and the Lord showed signs and wonders great and grievous against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. That's your testimony too. And everybody said, all right, back to Psalm 78, verses 5 through 7. It says, he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children, listen to this, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That's why you keep sharing those testimonies. Even those testimonies that you're sharing today, they're going to be heard even from grandchildren that you hadn't even had yet. And everybody said amen. I said this scripture before, and I just want to put it up there so you get this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The miracles that he did in the Old Testament, the miracles that he did in the New Testament, he still wants them to do today and tomorrow. I'm going to read something that I found out of Charles Spurgeon, the story of God's mighty acts, and I love this. I'm going to read this to you, and I put it up there. When people hear about what God used to do, one of the things they say is, oh, that was a very long while ago. I thought it was God that did it. Has God changed? No. Is he not an immutable God? That just means God never changes. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Does not that furnish an argument to prove that what God has done at one time, he can do it another? He can do it again. Testimony means do it again. Nay, I think I may push it a little further and say what he has done once is a prophecy of what he intends to do again. Whatever God has done is to be looked upon as a precedent. Let us with earnestness seek that God would restore to us the faith of the men of old, that we may richly enjoy his grace as in the days of old. I'm ready for the book of Acts, people. That's what this world needs, is the book of Acts. It needs the church to start acting like the book of Acts. That's what it needs, to turn the world upside down. We got everything else underneath the sun turning the world upside down besides the church. It's time for the church to get on the offense and start turning the world upside down. Everybody learning something today? All right, here's number three. Testimony, when you share your testimony with yourself, with others, it keeps us close to God. Your testimony keeps you close to God. I encourage you to even start putting, if you take notes in your phone, start writing those notes in your phone. Remember what God has done, the answer to prayers, testimony of what he's done, so you can go back and remember them. Psalm 78, verses 7 through 8 says, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. So when you a testimony is going to keep you close to God, then they would put their trust to God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments. That's what a testimony does. It keeps you close to the Lord. Here's number four. Testimony gives us supernatural courage. Testimony gives you supernatural courage. And this is Psalm 78 again, verses 9 through 16. This is the psalmist that's wrote this, okay? And I want to tell you something. He wasn't there when the Red Sea happened, all right? He wasn't there when the Jordan River parted either. But I want you to listen to this. The Ephraimites, armed to the teeth, ran off when the battle began. They were cowards to God's covenant, refused to walk by his word. They forgot what he had done, marvels he had done right before their eyes. He performed miracles in plain sight of their parents in Egypt out on the fields of Zoan. He split the sea, and they walked right through it. He piled the waters to the right and to the left. He led them by day with the cloud, led them all night long with the fiery torch. He split rocks in the wilderness, gave them all they could drink from underground springs. He made creeks flow out from sheer rock and water pour out like a river. The psalmist is saying, I wasn't there, but my ancestors told me this, and I'm reminding everybody else today. This is the testimony of the Lord. This is what God done. And that's your testimony as well. And everybody said, amen. So that means if you're in a situation where you don't have water, you can ask God to pour water out of a rock because you have a testimony of it happening. Everybody with me? That's the truth. All right, here's number five. Number five, testimony teaches others how to receive from God. Testimony teaches others how to receive from God. This is where I really wanted to get to this point and show you this, take you through the Gospels and show you this. This is really cool. Mark chapter 3, verses 9 through 10 says, because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Why were they pushing forward to touch him? Because they had already heard testimonies that if you just touch this guy, he's going to heal you. So they're getting around him too much, and he's telling them, get me out on a boat, guys, because they're pressing me too hard. All right? Luke 6:19, stay with me. And the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. How'd they know to do that? Because they've been hearing testimonies of it. If you just touch this guy, he's going to heal you. Just touch him. This word of mouth, there was no social media back then. This was all word of mouth going on everywhere. All right, stay with me. Here we go. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 29. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up from behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, okay? She wasn't supposed to get around Jesus because she's unclean. This is the ceremonially unclean. This is all this stuff in their day and age, okay? She wasn't even supposed to be near him. She wasn't supposed to even look at him. She wasn't supposed to get in his presence. But she'd said, she'd heard all these testimonies of people touching him, and she said, this is what she said, I may not be able to touch him because of my condition, but if I can just touch his garment, if I can just touch his garment, if I can just press through and touch his garment. Now watch this. She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering and she was healed. If you go on and read that story, Jesus stops and says, who touched me? He said, I felt power go out from me. All right? Go a little bit further. Mark 6, verses 53 through 56. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. And as soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, watch this, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let him touch even the edge of his cloak. Where did they hear that? I guarantee you that woman that got healed from the issue of blood was letting everybody know, hey, I got through the crowd, and I touched the hem of his garment, and I was healed. So this is news is spreading. They're saying, hey, you don't even have to touch him. You just got to touch his clothes. Whew, guys, that is awesome. They're just saying, I don't even got to touch him. I just got to touch his clothes. Just lay me my mat down, and if he walked by, I just want to brush his garment. I'm going to be healed. All right, this is what's going on. They begged him to let him touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Wow. That's the power of testimony. And there's going to be, this is why I'm going to prophesy this right now in our church. There's going to be so many testimonies coming out of this church of what Jesus is doing to people that there's going to be people lined up so that they can just be touched by Jesus again. Because he's going to be touching people through us as a church family. Amen. All right, number six. Everybody believing that with me? I've been asking people to start believing this with me, these signs, wonders, and miracles to follow the teaching and preaching. I'm tired of church as normal, all right? Sing three songs, have 3 points, and we go home. I want the power of God. And here's the deal, and I'm going to say this because I don't want you leaving here saying, man, our pastor's got in a fascination with signs, wonders, and miracles, okay? Here's my reason why, guys. I want you to hear my heart, okay? I want to represent him well. And when we don't have power in the house, we ain't representing him well. We're not. We're just up here with a bunch of hot words. And that's it. Now, God honors his word. Thank God for that. When it's taught in places, you know, he'll honor his word. A few people get saved. A few people get healed. I don't want a few. I want a bunch. I want a bunch of people saved. I want a bunch of people healed. I want a bunch of people transformed by the power of God. That's why I've got a fascination with signs, wonders, and miracles, because I want to represent him well. So here's number six. Testimonies make God's work real to us and to others. So when testimonies start flowing out of here, people are going to realize God's still alive. God's still at work. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He is real, not only to them at Harvest Fellowship Church, but he's real to other people as well. All right. As I said earlier, Deuteronomy, when he said, when you go study the book of Deuteronomy, and Pastor Moses is telling the children of Israel, keep the commandments, keep the statutes, keep the testimonies, tell them to your children, tell your children to tell it to their children and their children's children, and keep this going until today, and we're still reading about it. Thank God we're still reading about it today, because those testimonies are your testimonies. Now, I'm going to show you something hilarious. Everybody like hearing something hilarious from the Word of God? When I read this, I just cracked up. And I was like, yeah, and we're just like these guys, okay? We're just like the disciples, okay? We forget too quick what God has done. Some of us forget what God did yesterday. Anybody like me? And then something happens today, and we're like, golly. And God's like, do you not remember what I did yesterday? The answer to prayer? Write it down. Keep that commandment. Keep that testimony. Keep it before you. Now turn to Mark chapter 8. This is the other passage I wanted you to look at. And this is in verse 14. I'm going to read down through verse 21, okay? This is funny. This is funny. But it also is, I'm going to laugh at the disciples, but I'm also laughing at myself too because I've done this as well. Jesus has done miracles in front of these guys. I mean, he has healed the sick. He has raised the dead. He has cast out demons. And what we're fixing to read here is they have seen him feed 5,000 men. We know there's at least 5,000. We've also seen him feed at least 4,000 people. Okay, they were just counting the men round about. There's way more people than that, all right? They saw this miracle happen. Unbelievable. Can you imagine seeing that? I mean, just stop and think about that, the miracle. All right, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000. We get in Mark chapter 8, go down to verse 14. This is after these miracles have happened. As the disciples had forgotten to bring bread. Darn, all right? Because we got Jesus with us who can multiply, he can multiply anything. We've seen him multiply bread and fish. Except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Okay? He's talking about the yeast of sin and also the yeast of religion too. Verse 16 says, they discussed this with one another and said, it's because we have no bread. It's because we have no bread. All right, you're getting it with me now. Verse 17, it says, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts that hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?
12,
they replied. Verse 20, and when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketful of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? I can take that piece of bread and multiply it in so many different ways, it's going to make your head spin. All right? I can do miracles that you don't even know of, guys. And here's the deal, guys. What Jesus was trying to teach them there, I'm going to try to put this in Pastor Mark translation, redneck, you know, translation. Whenever God does something in your life, when he answers a prayer and there's a testimony, and then when you come along in life and you face another problem or another situation, God's saying, I want you to take the lens of what I did in that miracle, and I want you to look through at this problem with that same lens, because I can do it again. And that's what he was trying to tell the disciples in that boat that day. Guys, do you not remember what I did with the 5,000? Do you not remember what I did with the 4,000? I can take that bread and multiply it into whatever I want it to be. He said, I want you to look at this problem through the lens of not just one testimony, but two miracles that I've already done, that you've already seen me do. And so how many times do we do that? We forget what God did yesterday when we face a problem today. And everybody said, amen. Said, oh my, God, don't let's be like the disciples. That's why it's there, so that we don't act like them. All right, here's Psalm 66, verses 5 through 7. And if somebody can get Taya for me, because I know that she's back in the back teaching the young ones, because she's going to be with Cameron sharing their testimony. Psalm 66, verses 5 through 7 says this. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry ground. Here it is again. He's remembering what God's done. This psalmist wasn't even there, but this has been handed down, this testimony, from generation to generation, and he's saying, this is my testimony as a child of God. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. That was the Jordan River. There did we rejoice in him. He's like, he wasn't there, but he's like, I'm rejoicing with them today of what happened back then. Verse 7, who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations, let not the rebellious exalt themselves. The psalmist was basically saying he was remembering what God done in the Old Testament. And this is what we're supposed to do when we read the Word of God. When you get in the Word of God, it helps you remember what God has done, and it builds faith in you. This is an alive book. When you read these testimonies in here, it builds faith in you for whatever you're facing. And then I love this story. I'm going to close with this one last scripture from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8. And this is where the man was totally delivered from. This is where the disciples saw Jesus not just cast out one demon, but a legion of demons, okay? In a moment, in a second, this man was delivered. And this was a man that lived, the Bible says, in the graveyard. The Bible says that he was so demonically possessed and crazy, so mentally disturbed that he could break chains and shackles. This was a guy that nobody messed with. This is a guy that everybody stayed away from. And when Jesus showed up, this man came running to Jesus, and Jesus set him free. And then it says the whole countryside started talking about this because they saw this man in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it scared them to death. Well, the other thing that scared them to death was that when Jesus cast out the demons, okay, here's your testimony. When he cast out the demons said, you know, have you come to torment us before our time? Send us into the pigs. So they went into the pigs, and then the Bible says they ran over the cliff and died, okay? People saw this, people talking about it. Okay, we got we thought we had a crazy man in the graveyard. We got somebody crazier here now. His name's Jesus. Okay? That's what's going on. That's the testimony that's going around. And we went back out there and saw him with his disciples, and we saw that guy that used to be in the graveyard, you know, that was breaking chains and shackles, and he is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he's in his right mind. He's not crazy anymore. So where did the crazy go? Okay, so they're thinking Jesus is crazy. Jesus knows this is all going on behind the scenes, right? Okay, and so when they get up to leave, this is what I love about the Lord. The Lord will cross a sea for one person. This is what happened in this situation. And Jesus says, we're going to go. And so here's what so we're picking this up in Luke chapter 8. I was paraphrasing all this. In Luke chapter 8, verse 38 through 39, we pick this story up. And it says, the man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. He wanted to go with Jesus and the disciples. But Jesus sent him away saying this, verse 39. He said, return to your home, and here it is, declare, testify, testimony, share your testimony, how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. That's awesome. And that's what God wants you to do with your testimony or your testimonies that you can share with people and share with others. And I've asked a couple of people to come this morning to share in our 5-minute closing. Let's see. Because testimonies build faith, right? Okay. And Tay and Cameron, I want you all to come up here first. Then I'm going to have Carrie come. And they shared their testimony here a while back. Y'all remember that? Some of you were here. What was it? First of December. See, Cameron's waiting. See, it seems like yesterday to me. seems like last month. And there's been some other things unfold since then. So I wanted them to share because Jade and I, we've been in this story with them and praying for them. And it's just a neat God story to see them owning their own faith and walking with the Lord. So I'm going to quit talking and let y'all talk.
I'm just saying it was cool before, but it got cooler. And I'll let him say it because it happened.
This is our God's moving us from good to great testimony that we're going to proclaim this and maybe write a book about this.
There you go.
But about 5-6 weeks ago, I was driving, phone popped up, got a phone call, maybe thought it was a client or something. I took the phone call and said, hey, my name is Carrie. I'm a recruiter with a company out of Kansas City, Kansas. We've been looking for a new financial advisor for the Oklahoma City market, and your name popped up. We'd like to meet with you. And so this company, Copper Financial, located in Kansas City, Kansas, have been working for the last almost year and a half or so to get a new financial advisor. They started in 2001, and they've stayed in Kansas City. They never branched out to any other states besides New York. And they said, hey, now's the time to branch out to Oklahoma, and they're doing another one out in California. But they said, hey, we're looking for a guy in Oklahoma, and we think you're the guy. And so we've met with them a couple times, and after that couple times, they basically gave us the job. They said, if it's yours, you want it. And Taya and I, we were just going back and forth because God had just set us up into a new position through MidFirst, thinking, hey, this was end game for us. But there are some obstacles. You know, every job's not perfect, right? So God moved us from a situation out here to Oklahoma City area, and he moved us into a good position, but it wasn't great. And so there was just things that happened on the back end that we weren't super happy about, but we knew they kept saying, hey, in 5 years, 7 years, 9 years, you'll be to XYZ or ABC. And so we're like, well, we know we'll just, you know, continue. We've got that drive. We've got that motivation. We'll just, you know, we'll just push through and get there. Well, this, you know, didn't even come on our radar. We weren't looking. God just dropped this area on us. And I started to begin asking God, you know, the lady, how did you find me? They said, well, because you moved to Oklahoma City area, we did a search of about 20-mile radius of the Oklahoma City metro. So God was able to move us to the city for us to get recruited for this job, because if we would have been staying in the Weatherford-Clinton area, we wouldn't have been on the radar for this new company. And so they said, hey, you can take it as far as you want. When they started in 2001, they just had a group of people, about five or six. And in the Kansas City today area now, they have almost 20 advisors. So it's a small firm, right? So we're going from a almost $35 billion company with MidFirst to almost a $2 billion company in Kansas City. No one knows about them in Oklahoma. They're brand new. They have zero assets in Oklahoma. And so here's another testimony. You might be on the side. You might be trying to do something saying, but God, what if I fail? And we prayed about that. We said, hey, we know in 5 to 7 years we're going to be there, you know, but we're like, God, with MidFirst, but we're like, man, what if we take this leap of faith? We've got two young kids. We're starting out. What if we take this leap of faith and we fail? But God said, what if we take this leap of faith and we succeed? What if we succeed? What if we mimic what they're doing in Kansas City and grow it from a five-man group or one-man group to, you know, being a 20-advisor group in the Oklahoma City metro area? And so God is just blessing us right off the bat, and it's amazing to see. And another, you know, cherry on the top, I guess you could say, to this is through the interview process, and before they said yes to me and we said yes to them, they said, here's what we can do. We can actually double your salary immediately. They say, you say yes, we can double your salary immediately. So that kind of helped out as well. But still, the fear factor of it all, the fear factor, we knew what was going to happen with our previous job, but we didn't know what was going to happen now. But God said, take that leap of faith. Keep your eyes on me, and you'll succeed. And so we're happy. And, of course, another huge thing is we're not having to rush off to Oklahoma City. They don't care where we live. They don't care, you know, anything about that nature. So we'll be in the Weatherford area a little bit longer. So I know it makes my parents happy. And I'm sure it makes Mark and Jada a little happier as well.
Thank you, Lord.
To the city. So did I miss anything? Do you want to share?
Not really, but I was just going to share, like, my side just a tad. But, no.
You're a team.
We're a team. This isn't just me. This is decisions we... I mean, when you're husband and spouse, I mean, y'all are one, and that's hard. Hey, that's this isn't just me flying solo. It's, hey, I've got a wife, I've got two kids, we're one family.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to do a decision that works best for all of us.
No, sorry, I didn't mean that like that, yeah. But what I struggled with and what we talked about was not being greedy, because it was doubling our salary, you know? So we're sitting there like, is this the devil trying to tempt us with more money? You know, like, we're playing all the scenarios in our head. But then I looked at Cameron and I was like, but what if this is God blessing us? You have to look at it both ways. And so I wrestled with that. Not that I was, you know, making the decision for Cameron. Like I said, we discussed it. But, like, I wrestled with that. Like, but then finally getting through my brain, I was like, this could be God blessing us, even though it was fast and it's not something that we had to, you know, drag out. Like, this could be the flip side of it. It doesn't always have to be Satan, you know, tempting. It doesn't always have to be that. You should be cautious of that, but it doesn't always have to be that. So that was the realization that I came to, was that, holy crap. You know, like, this is God. Like, we thought we were already blessed, and we were thinking, you know, during that, you know, we did have to take a pay cut and all that. We were like, you know, God brought us here for a reason. God brought us here. Like, it's going to come. Maybe it is in 5 to 7 years, but we're going to weather the storm. And I started working. You know, we were going to make it work. But anyway, it's just amazing to see that. And it brought me to tears because of how intimate God is with you and that he looks out for you. God, I told myself it wasn't going to.
Amen.
But I've never seen that in my own life, like, feeling that sought after and that chased. When we've prayed and we've been diligent, and for God to love us and our family so much, like, I'm going to brag about it, that he loves us so much that he brought that across our paths. We weren't even looking.
Yeah.
We were content. We were okay. Things could have been better, but we were okay. And he loved us just enough to say, you know what? We're going to double it right off the bat. You don't even got to worry about it no more.
That's good. Amen. Thank you, guys. They were very nice in that testimony because they didn't share all the some of the things.
That's for the 30-minute.
Yeah, that's for the 30-minute testimony. But I'm going to say one thing to add to this, that whenever when God's got your heart and you're walking with God, there was things that Cameron didn't say that I'm going to share for his 30-minute testimony, but there was things going behind the scenes that they didn't even know in his job situation. Some things that were happening underneath the table, so to speak. I hope y'all are getting my drift. He didn't know that until after the fact, but you know who saw it? He did. And God said, this ain't happening to my kids. And so when that happened, I told Cameron, I said, Cameron, I said, where you thought you were going to be, you know, where his mentor was, you know, now, I said, when he was at MidFirst, I said, you're gonna be there quicker than 5 to 7 years from now because of the things that were going on there. So I was bragging on guys like, God, thank you. This, you know, as a daddy, you know, with his daughter and the son-in-law, I was like, God, thank you for taking care of my kids, you know. And so God is so good. Yeah, and they're faithful. There's a couple, they didn't say this either. They're faithful in their giving. And they give to his church, Liberty Church, and they give to here too. And they've been very faithful in their giving too, and God saw that as well. So, Carrie, I want you to come up here and share. I asked Carrie to share something that God had done in her life too. So I just, yes, you're on, I believe. Yeah. Is it on? I'm sorry.
Am I there? Okay. Yeah. All right. My story starts a long time ago, but this most current testimony was about January, middle of January, and I started having some hip pain. And I really didn't know where it was coming from. It was my left hip and probably age, and I walk really fast wherever I go. But it was bad, like to the point to where it would just feel like a catch was in it. It wasn't all the time. I'd be walking, and I would just get a catch, and it would bring me to my knees. And it was to the point to where I told Marcus that I really think that I need to call a doctor. I need to get an MRI. I don't know what's going on. And we couldn't figure it out, and we just went on and went on. And the prophetic team came from Mino on a Sunday night, and we had an amazing worship service. And Mark and I and our family came up here for a prophetic word. And here's the key, is that I didn't ask for my hip to be healed while I was up here at receiving our prophetic word. I didn't ask. And so we're back in the back, and we're fellowshipping in the kitchen, and Jennifer Bourne, thank God for prayerful friends, observant yes. and discerning friends. And she came up to me, and she goes, Carrie, are you feeling okay? And I'm like, well, I go, I kind of got this pain in my hip, and it just comes and goes. And she goes, let's pray for healing. And so we came out into an empty sanctuary. And Jada, bless her heart, she was standing right there too. And so we grabbed her and we came out and back there right where Jennifer Gourlay and Gary are sitting right back there. We just sat down and they laid hands on my hip and just started praying. And you could just feel the Holy Spirit still in the sanctuary from the prophetic word. And this heat began. And this heat where their hands were laying, like to the point to where it felt like a heating pad was on my hip. And guys, I have not had pain in my hip since that night.
Amen.
None.
Amen.
None. The catch in the hip was gone. It has not happened since. But I want to speak it, ask it, mm-hmm. receive it. Mm-hmm. Because when we don't, mm-hmm. it doesn't.
Yeah.
And I just am so thankful for Jennifer Bourne. Just thank you. Love you.
Amen.
And thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carrie. Good stuff. God is good and all the time. And he's the same God yesterday and today and forever. And so if you're having any hip pain, you better get with Carrie. And she'll pray for you, okay? And if you need prayer about anything else, get with Taya and Cameron over here. And guys, I love that. Did you feel the faith rise in this place? You know, so if you have pain anywhere in your body, you need to, as Carrie was saying, sometimes we get to the point where we're saying, God's too busy to meet my need, you know, and I don't want to bother the Lord with. God wants you to ask as his children. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to make sure, like I do this every Sunday, make sure that everybody here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior before you go home today. And how that happens, because I've had people say, well, Pastor, what do I do to get saved? Just like in the book of Acts, when they asked about that. And the Bible says very simply that we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that Jesus was died for our sins, that he was buried and he rose again. If we believe that, if we confess that, then we're saved. And so I want to lead you in a prayer to do that. And so even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. God is good. And all the time, I want everybody to stand up. If you got your family there with you, Jada, will you come up here? I want you to join hands with them, and I'm going to speak a blessing over all of us today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck and say, you need to share your testimony. Amen.